Today in the Plant Cunning Podcast, we're thrilled to have Caitlin Smith. How are you today, Caitlin?
I'm doing great today. How are you all doing?
Awesome. And in short, I'll just introduce you as a Boston-based scholar. You're a writer, you're a naturalist, and a multidisciplinary educator, and an outdoor adventurer. So our first question that we ask on the podcast is, how did you come to the plant path? So how did you come to work with plants?
Oh my goodness, it's such a long story, but I love the question. I think what initially brought me into the orbit of herbalism and working with plants in different ways was that at some point in high school, I became a vegetarian, and for a number of reasons, including an interest in supporting my body through some health challenges I was experiencing, as well as I became really interested in animal rights and the treatment of animals in factory farms, and eventually got into veganism and then eventually raw veganism, and went down some rabbit holes that I think ended up doing some harm to my body ultimately. And at some point in the course of exploring that, I guess, dietary universe and subculture, I became aware of foraging wild plants and medicinal mushrooms. Oh, cool. Became interested in herbalism and started purchasing some herbs from Mountain Rose Herbs and playing around with them, and kind of got on a path of largely self-directed learning, though there were a number of teachers I really enjoyed learning from along the way. I think the first person I went on a plant walk with was an herbalist and wild food expert named Katrina Blair from Colorado. That was a formative experience, and it was just so exciting. But there were a bunch of people. Susan Weed is someone who's really inspired me. Robin Rose Bennett. Mm-hmm. Stephen Harrod-Buhner is also someone who really inspired me, you know, while he was still with us. Also, Mary Blue in Rhode Island, was I studied with at the time. And also Katya Swift and Rin Madura of Greater Boston are teachers I've learned a lot from. And there are so many other people as well, but those are some people who I've really enjoyed learning from. And my plant path continues to evolve over time, but I love that as a very curious person, I love that the natural world is infinitely complex, and I find that it's impossible to get bored. And I love just going down different rabbit holes and discovering that there's even more to explore and discover in a kind of never-ending way.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a recent plant or fungi discovery that you are excited about that you want to share? I know it's winter in Boston, so you probably haven't been hiking as much and stuff like that, but looking back over the last season, was there someone that popped out as far as a plant or mushroom that you were like, wow, you stole the show?
I love that question. You know, I would have to say holy basil, because I started growing it in my garden plot. I've lived in this area in Somerville in the Boston area for several years now, and I was on a waiting list to get a community garden plot for a really long time. And I finally got off of the waiting list this past spring and had the chance to finally plant some things. And so I planted a lot of holy basil, and I already loved this herb, but being able to just go there every morning and just stick my face in it was just the most wonderful thing ever. And prior to that, I loved taking tinctures of it and also making tea with it. And that was just so wonderful. But being able to visit it and, you know, in the soil and take care of it was just really special. And I'm really looking forward to doing that again this season.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's something very magical about fresh holy basil. Mm-hmm. So wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that visual of like sticking your face in it every day. That's exactly what I want to do every time I see a fresh holy basil plant.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm realizing I actually have some hanging.
Oh, yeah, look at that. That's awesome.
From that.
From the garden. And congrats on your plot. That's exciting that you have a community garden plot after a long waitlist period. That's awesome.
There's a lot of demand in this area. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, I love walking around cities and seeing like fruit trees that people have planted years ago that are like full of food now, and the garden plots and... yeah, all the plants in the cities, like, makes the cities so grounded, you know? So what are you doing now? What are you focusing on now? You're a writer and you lead these adventure and plant walks and you just have a lot of different things. So what is your focus on the day-to-day these days?
Yeah, thank you for that question. As you were suggesting, I'm definitely someone who has a bunch of irons in the fire that derive a lot of energy from having different projects that I'm working on that kind of converge on a certain level of abstraction, I guess. But in my day-to-day right now, my main gig is that I'm a graduate student. I'm currently a PhD student in history of science at Harvard, where I'm pursuing research in some different areas, including the history of psychology and ultimately the history of medicine. And I think about both of those things through an ecological prism. And I'm really interested in eco-psychology and the connection between our own inner landscapes and the landscapes of our bodies and the broader natural landscape. So that's something I'll be exploring continuously. And alongside that, I think you mentioned that I'm a writer. So yes, that's something that I love to do and I'm working on a longer writing project in an ongoing way. But I had a piece come out recently in Orion magazine on acorns and Octavia Butler, which I had a lot of fun writing. And that was based on an event that I offered called Acorns and Octavia, which, how should I even summarize it? Kind of like an acorn foraging and consumption workshop. So there was a practical component, but it was also an invitation to think about acorns in the way that Octavia Butler thought about them, both as a metaphor for kind of like life that endures and thrives in the midst of immense challenges and violence and crisis, but also acorns as a food that you can turn to both in times of acute crisis and even just as a practice for connecting to this world, even as various crises are unfolding. So that's one event that I offered recently and that I plan to offer again this coming fall. One other event that I am offering just next weekend, actually, an in-person event, an educational event, is called Enchanted Somerville. It was previously called Welcome to Elfland. Might be listening to this and thinking, what in the world is she talking about? But it's a walking tour of Somerville, which is the city where I live. And the crux of it is that there's a mysterious community art installation that took shape in the last couple of years around here called Elfland. And it was started by a little boy in the community who told his parents that he saw some elves digging in the gravel at this abandoned gas station site. And it led to them constructing some little houses for the elves. Aww. And other random people ended up joining in, and this gigantic village emerged. And I just thought it was really exciting to see people coming together to create beauty in, you know, what was an abandoned gas station site, and also incorporating all of these threads of, I don't know, various folkloric traditions, including Scottish folkloric traditions in which Elfland is an actual place. So I thought that was really exciting. So anyway, I created this tour of Elfland, and that incorporated some plant knowledge. And we looked for a hawthorn tree, given some of the magical properties attributed to hawthorns, and had a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to offering the next iteration of that next weekend. And cool. Yeah,
that sounds super.
That
fun.
Sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
thank you.
what an amazing phenomenon there. I read your Acorns and Octavia piece, and I thought that was really wonderful. I love Octavia Butler. I also love acorns. but you talked a little bit about how eating wild foods, it changes your body in a certain way, and like you have a different level of knowledge, like a physical kind of knowledge, but also, coming from like Harvard, which is, you know, like this bastion of conventional knowledge, you know, it's like smartest people in the world go there, but it's also kind of maybe rigid in certain ways, very on the rational end of things, right? And the dogma to a certain extent, but it's like a lot of theory, right? But you're coming at this from an experiential way, and a way that's connected to the land and the beings, you know, that live in the land. What's your experience like navigating like Harvard and also a green path?
Oh goodness, I love that question. And I imagine that I'll know more. I'm sure that if you were to ask me this question in a few years, my answer would probably be different than it is right now as someone who's just getting started in that particular community, in the Harvard community. But so far, it's been really interesting being someone who's been really immersed in both learning about the natural world and the plants and the mushrooms, but and also learning from them directly. It's been quite interesting to be someone with that kind of orientation to the world and to this place where I live, operating in these spaces where a lot of the people I encounter aren't necessarily thinking in those terms, and in some cases are maybe hostile to those ways of thinking. So far, what I've been finding is that just entering classrooms and other spaces with an earnest commitment to speaking my truth and leading with integrity and curiosity just feels like all that I can really do. And I've been doing that with the understanding that some people I encounter are maybe not so interested in exploring what's happening on planet Earth from this more expansive perspective that engages the body and, yeah, turns to other sites of knowledge. But then I've encountered other people who have been really curious and people who have said, oh, you go foraging, you do this or that with the plants. I'm going to learn about that. And I've also encountered other people within the Harvard community who are also herbalists and who are, you know, very much engaged in working with and learning from the land, which has been really exciting and not something I necessarily expected either. So it's really exciting to see that there are kind of gradual shifts that seem to be underway. And it feels exciting to be part of that too.
Yeah, cool.
That's awesome.
So what is knowledge for me?
I love that question. That's another question that feels hard to answer, at least for me. That question is one of the questions that we explore in the field that I'm part of right now, history of science. And there have been various proposals offered by various figures, including one historian of science named Lorraine Dastin, that figures in the field of history of science consider expanding the scope of the field to encompass not just the history of capital S science, but what is the history of knowledge? What is the philosophy of knowledge? Who can be a knower? How do we distinguish between what constitutes knowledge and what's superstition? Or, you know, what is science and what is pseudoscience? I don't know that I have a tight, compelling answer to that question, but I really love exploring that question. And kind of part of what's inspired me to pursue my current course of study, line of study, is wanting to create space for and resources that can support people in valuing their own knowledges and their own truths that arise from their own embodied experiences and that are often marginalized by, you know, expert knowledge and people who are, you know, coming from a different perspective. Part of what has informed that area of interest for me is that I previously did some work as a psychotherapist. And one of the things that was striking to me about that experience of training in that field was that I had some people who were training me who came to the conclusion, one person in particular, but there were some other people as well, who I think saw me as kind of like an oddity, as a Black person who to them seemed like really intellectual in ways that they weren't expecting perhaps, and that diverged from how they imagined a Black woman should be. And I found that my way of being was profoundly invalidated. And there's kind of a long story related to all of that, but I think that experience combined with also being very much immersed in the natural world and seeking knowledge from unlikely places, one might say, I just had this interest in what is it that leads people to believe that they have sort of like a definitive understanding of what's happening in this world.
what arrogance.
Yes. And what is it that closes people off from all of the possibilities and from all of the intelligences that suffuse the natural world and you know, humans within that natural world? So I'm really interested in that in an expansive way. So I don't feel that I have any answers to the question that you posed, but I love to sit with that question and also think about what might it look like to, you know, in the future, offer writing resources, learning experiences that can invite people to think more deeply and generously about this so that it makes room for more people's realities.
Yeah. I love that you're, you know, thinking about these things and spending time on them and engaging with folks in that way. And I think of the little boy from Somerville who recognized elf presence at this abandoned gas station and then told his folks about it. And instead of his folks devaluing that experience, that bodily and experiential knowledge that he had, they, you know, ran with it and they made elf houses and invited other people to engage in that mysterious experience. Yeah, like in a world where we're often told what to believe, and there's the science side where we're told from scientists to believe this, or there's also the social side where we are looking to our peers all the time through social media or people's blogs and things like that. It's like we're starting to lose our own self-knowledge and our own ways of knowing. And so I think what you're studying and engaging with this topic of what is knowledge and how do we come to know things is just so important.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I think everyone should explore the topic, you know?
Yeah.
Because knowledge is such a tenuous thing and it's such a mysterious thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing we didn't talk about yet that I really want to get into a little bit is, what is storied ground all about? Or shall I say, why story the ground?
Oh, goodness. Another great question. So I have a venture called Storied Grounds. And what inspired me to create it was that, well, a number of things. But one of the things is that I have been really fascinated by what it is that has brought each of us to the place where we live. I think I mentioned my interest in eco-psychology earlier. I'm really interested in this intersection between our own inner emotional landscapes and the physical, the natural landscape. And I found in exploring that realm that a lot of people are doing incredibly powerful nature connection work that takes a lot of different forms and that I've gained a lot from participating in. But something that I found myself reflecting upon that I didn't see reflected as much in that sphere was attention to the reality of human migration and the complicated chain of events that has led each of us to the place where we happen to live. And yeah. This is something I think about a lot for a lot of different reasons. One of them is that I'm not from the place where I currently live. I grew up in Ohio, but I currently live in Greater Boston. And I've been thinking about what it means to feel at home in this place where I currently live. And one of the ways that I think I do that is by, you know, venturing out onto the landscape and into the forest. And for me, that's part of the value of engaging in practices like wildcraft, various plants that I encounter and making medicines from them. It allows me to feel more connected to this place. But I've also been thinking about how complicated it is to you know, connect to the place where you live, given all of the violence and complicated historical and contemporary dynamics that inform our relationships to the landscape. So with Storied Grounds, what I've been hoping to do is create spaces in which folks can practice belonging to the place where we live and kind of learning some of the stories of this place and also integrating other stories that we might be bringing with us. And also carving out room for reflection about how we arrived here so that we're not just kind of celebrating like in a kind of quasi-colonial way, like, yay, like here we are in this place and let's just not really think about how we got here. So those are some of the threads that informed the formation of Storied Grounds. And I think that there's a lot of power to be found in not just, you know, walking around or, you know, moving around in the landscape and not really thinking about it. I think that I feel much more at home in the place where I live as a result of thinking through, some of the lore and also natural history and social history, cultural history, and the convergence of all of those things. So those are some of the themes that I'm exploring through that project. And right now there are three, or I guess four, major components of Storied Grounds. One component is that I'm offering the in-person events that I spoke to a little bit earlier. So the Enchanted Somerville event is one of them. The Acorns and Octavia event is one that I'll be offering again in the fall. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also doing a community research project through Storied Grounds. And that is connected to a certificate program I'm completing at Mass Audubon here in Massachusetts. And that project is focused on elevating the ecological knowledges of knowledge keepers of color in the Boston area. And the vision there is to capture some of people's plant knowledge and then create a resource, a digital resource ultimately, that will map onto various biota that occur within the Boston Nature Center in Mattapan, Massachusetts, which is a neighborhood within Boston. So that's one other sub-project within Storied Grounds that I'm working on, and that's called the Storied Grounds Project. And then the other major thing that I'm offering under Storied Grounds right now is a suite of tech products, most of which are called Gaia Hub products, but these are digital learning and knowledge organization products that I've really enjoyed creating initially for my own use, but I realized that other people might find them useful as well. And the crux of these products is that they help you organize your learning and plan your activities in the natural world and think deliberately about how you want to approach them. So those are the main offerings that I currently am offering or delivering via Storied Grounds.
And if before we get into Gaia Hub too, if folks want to check out, you know, more about Storied Grounds, do you want to share where they can go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for asking. It's storiedgrounds.com, and grounds is plural.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you. And then also just one more question, you know, before we dive into the Gaia Hub more. So why do you find it so important to connect and integrate the histories of both people and the place as you're interacting with a landscape? Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm trying to think of how I can address this succinctly. Part of why I find it really important to attend to histories of people and place in tandem is that I think that there are a lot of situations in which we're only fixating on one or the other, and a lot gets lost if that trade-off is being made. So I think that I've definitely been on tours before in Boston and elsewhere where human history, the histories of particular humans are foregrounded. And that can be useful as a learning experience, but there's a lot that doesn't come into focus if that is your lens. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I've attended all kinds of classes on, you know, different topics related to the natural world, whether it's, I don't know, all kinds of things, mushrooms, plants, bird related classes, all kinds of things. And those learning experiences can be so rich. And also, I think that when we don't have opportunities to learn about the knowledges of different human communities that relate to those practices or that are important to understand if you're trying to learn about a particular landscape, there's just a lot that's lost. And so I think that bringing those two things into the same space is really important and a great opportunity. And I also find that, and I guess I was gesturing toward this earlier, but I think that in bringing those things into the same space, I also am able to feel more at home where I live. And I would say that it's not a feeling of home that feels uncomplicated. It feels immensely complicated. There's a lot to contend with. And yeah, sometimes I find that it raises more questions than it answers, but it feels more true and more real to me to be immersed in the questions. And so I like that. Mm-hmm. And I like to be able to sit with those questions with other people as well, because it feels like it offers a place to start, or, you know, a place to begin a collaboration, or, you know, forging community that attends to contemporary and historical realities instead of, you know, like operating apart from them.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Us moving here, like I was born an hour and a half from here, but I was raised in Western Pennsylvania, and it's still like the Allegheny Plateau, but it's a different bio. I mean, there are different trees growing here as the main canopy trees. And there's, you know, it's a different location. It's a different ecosystem. And this different place, but we've had to like to settle in and to like ground into this area. You know, we've had to do a lot of foraging and exploring and going to various areas and
listening
and sitting, but also reading about the stories from here. I found this book from like early 1900s about all these stories from like the 1700s through the 1800s. And they're just little stories, but they're from this county, like all just around here. I don't know how we found it, you know, but it was like that it just opened my eyes to a new level of this place. You know, the stories really, they do connect you to the place, because it's everyone's experience is with the place. And, you know, in today's culture, you can just go to any town and there's an Applebee's and a Walmart and so on, but that kind of like masks that every location is different, every land is different.
Or you can spend all your time on the internet and not really connecting and grounding a place. So yeah, it's another type of mask.
Yeah, but when also the stories, especially like stories of when life wasn't so easy in a certain way, like people needed to be more connected to the land to even survive.
Right.
So you get another level of connection that way. But that's I think that's a wonderful project.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So you've created this digital tool for organizing your knowledge and information and activities and even like your values surrounding the natural world. And it's called Gaia Hub. So if folks who are listening to the podcast want to jump over to the YouTube channel, Caitlin's going to actually show us what this looks like because it's really cool. So just want to throw that out there. But do you want to talk a little bit about first, like what it is?
Who sure. It's for? Okay. Absolutely, absolutely. So the Gaia Hub products are, as you were saying, they offer users a way to organize knowledge, activities, priorities, and values related to the natural world. And I know that's probably hard to picture if I'm just talking about it abstractly, but this is a system that sits on top of Notion. And if some people listening are not familiar with Notion, Notion is a fantastic cloud-based software that's free on the internet, and it's incredibly adaptable. So it's kind of challenging to describe what Notion even is, but it's a highly flexible databasing software that you can use to organize your life, run your business. There are all kinds of things you can do with it. And I started using it to create this system because I just realized that I just had so much information that I was really excited about learning and organizing, and related to my ongoing herbal studies, and also my ongoing studies as a naturalist and the work that I'm doing as an outdoor educator as well. And I just felt like the notebooks upon notebooks that I was using to store all of my notes were just not really cutting it. It was becoming so chaotic. I know you can see a lot of books in here. I had like tons of notebooks. It was out of control. So I just realized that I wanted to have some sort of way to have a note over here about, I don't know, holy basil, like we were talking about earlier, that allows me to capture, you know, its energetics and, you know, important details surrounding its herbal actions. And then have another, I also want to be able to see, you know, what are the soils in which it grows? What are some of the stories surrounding its significance in different cultural contexts? Also, how do I process it? Am I processing it right now? What is the workflow for, you know, making medicine from this? Yeah. And I was just realizing there were all of these different things that were sort of happening in parallel. And it's really hard to represent that in a single notebook.
Yeah.
And so the amazing thing about Notion is that it's a relational database. So you can have Holy Basil, for example, and various pieces of information related to kind of living in various places. And then you can reorganize that data to sort of surface different insights in different, like as you have different needs. So I'm thinking it will probably be easiest for me to just sort of show it.
Yeah, totally. As you're getting it set up and sharing screen, how did you find out about Notion?
Oh goodness. I'm not sure how I initially found out about it, but I'm definitely a nerd.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm a plant nerd and I'm also a computer nerd a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think I stumbled upon it in the context of, I don't know, exploring different online tools for organizing my life and my studies. Yeah. And I had the opportunity to take a really deep dive into Notion with a woman named Marie Poulin, known as the Notion Queen, and her Notion Mastery course. And that was incredible. That was very helpful. Let's see here.
Yeah, definitely. I recommend Marie Poulin for folks who are just getting into Notion. She has a bunch of free YouTube videos as well explaining it, but Notion Mastery is awesome.
Yeah, she keeps on trying to get me to do this Notion stuff. She's been obsessed with Notion for a while. And I'm a little bit of a stubborn.
I like get mad when I'm trying to use anything other than Notion and I do the slash and it's like I can't insert an image. I'm like, it drives me nuts. It's like Notion has ruined me for every other software.
I am with you completely. I do the same thing. I'll just be typing in Word or
something
else. And it's just like, wait a second, why is the menu not showing up?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'm so glad I'm not the only one.
No, not at all. And I'm so glad you found Notion and that you are, you know, using it to help us herbalists and naturalists to organize our life.
Are you able to see my screen?
Yep, we see it.
Okay, great. I hope that my screen is quite big. So I hope that it doesn't look distorted.
No.
Where you're sitting. Okay, so this is what the Gaia Hub Herbalist Edition looks like. I think I mentioned briefly that there are a few different versions of the product. So I'll just quickly explain that. So I think I mentioned briefly that I'm of course really passionate about herbalism, but I'm also passionate about gathering wild foods and also passionate about my ongoing lifelong naturalist studies and also teaching in the outdoors. So when I initially created this product, all of the features were collapsed into a single interface. And I realized as I was chatting with people about the product, that it might be helpful to sort of tease them apart so that there's not too much information in one place. So what we're looking at right now is the Herbalist product. But for anyone who's interested in any of those other activities or those other features, there are other product options, including an all-in-one product. But we'll just go through the Herbalist one here.
Yeah, so you have one for herbalists, one for naturalists. And is there a third?
Yeah, there's one that's focused on wild food. And then there's a kind of like an outdoor educator product that has fewer features. And that's actually included. The outdoor educator features are included in this herbalist product. Yeah, but for someone who is only interested in that, they could explore that one.
Cool.
Okay, so here we have the herbalist product. So it includes all of these different databases. So there's the Materia Medica. This is an area for planning your work in the field, any wildcrafting. There's also an area for planning out and capturing information related to any clinical work that you might be doing as an herbalist. An area to kind of project manage any medicine making you're doing. There's also an area to sort of see what's in your apothecary right now. There's also an area to keep track of all of your herbal recipes and formulations. There's also an area to keep tabs on specific plots of land that you might turn to both to harvest medicines and to steward. And then in connection with that, you can also create a database of different types of habitats that you might turn to and the seasons as well. So I'll show you what that looks like later. So it will make more sense when I'm going through it. And then there's also a place to house different resources. Like if you want to take notes on various books or other even like videos, audios, whatever it is that you're turning to as a resource, you can capture them in the library area and keep your notes as well in this notes area. But there's also this area here for capturing any photos that you take in the field or at events that you're leading or pictures that you're taking of plants that you're growing. The possibilities are endless, but you can put pictures here and then connect them to other information that you're storing elsewhere. And there's also a place to capture stories, as I was saying before, related to different groups of people, perhaps your own lineage, perhaps, you know, the people at the place where you live. There are a lot of possibilities there. And then there's also this people database for people you may be learning with, collaborating with, and also organizations. And then at the bottom here, there are also these two bonus portals. One is for you if you're currently on a learning journey, maybe if you're taking some sort of herbal course or in school in some way, you can capture your assignments and things you need to do. And then finally, if you are someone who's leading others, teaching others, you can capture information related to that here. So I'll go back up to the top and sort of go through each of these. I also am just looking at the time and also want to ask you all if there are particular features that you would like me to underscore, just because I want to make sure I don't talk for too long if that's too much time.
Yeah, I think the tracking, like from an herbalist perspective, the like tracking your recipes and materia medica is like, this is so helpful for that. Okay. And also the clinical side, because a lot of folks, I feel like, need support in how to keep track of clients. And also, I love all of your images, all of the drawings that you have chosen for folks who are just listening, of beautiful line drawings that invoke exactly what they should for each category. So like for the community side, there's a bee.
Thank you.
So, great job on that. But yeah, I think the materia medica, the clinical side, and the recipe area would be really awesome to focus on.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you. Let's see here. So I'll pop into the materia medica area. So this system comes preloaded with, I think, about 200. I can look and see the exact number. Oh, it's 92 medicinal plants. This particular product has 92 medicinal plants and fungi in it. And so you can delete all of them if you want to. You can change the pictures. You can add as many as you want. It's completely up to you, but I thought I would share some to get people started and, you know, make it clear how to use the system. So here I have all of these plants and fungi organized alphabetically. I also have this seaweed here. So I guess that's not technically a plant, but this just gives people a sense of what's possible. Here I have just a common name for each one, the Latin name, and then the family that it belongs to. So I'll click on calendula here just to sort of show you what it looks like. So this is what the individual record looks like. The top is the taxonomic data. You can assign it to a particular kingdom. You can select one of these. You can also add more kingdoms if you would like to, but I have plant, fungi, and animal. You can also select a family. You click in here. I have a lot of different families preloaded that correspond to the biota that are in the system already. And then you can create records for different kinds of biota. And then in the taxon field, you can also select species, genus, group. And the reason for this is that you can create records that correspond not just to a particular species, but to an entire genus or to an entire group of life forms. So I offer in-depth training videos within the product itself. So for anyone who wants to sort of take a deep dive into how to customize this, all of that information is available, but I'll just sort of give a more of a high level view here. So this is the species name, and you can also link to other species. So say this was a like the genus calendula and you wanted to include other species, you could then add them in here so that they're all linked together. Okay, and so now some of the other features that are inside of this record are you can pinpoint particular herbal traditions in which this herb is employed. So I have Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, Western herbalism, African American folk medicine, and indigenous knowledges. And these can be adjusted completely to align with the traditions that you work with or ones that you're learning about. These are just meant to kind of give you a place to start.
Cool.
And you can also indicate the particular parts used here. And then here is kind of a database with all of the different medicinal actions that might pertain to the plant in question. So you can click in here and select the ones that are relevant, and of course, add and delete as you see fit, and, you know, add and delete according to the tradition and method in which you're working. You can also pinpoint particular affinities. So affinities with different systems of the body. So here I have the lymphatic system, but there are all of these different options. And again, you can add and delete. So I have cardiovascular, circulatory, nervous system, respiratory system, urinary. I also have an energetics field. So here I have warm, dry, and tonifying. And then again, can choose the ones that you want, add and delete, and also the taste of the herb in question.
Mm.
And there's also a field here where you can pinpoint notable plant constituents. So I think this is useful if you are working with a client or a family member, or even just yourself, if you have, or you have someone who can't have a particular constituent, maybe they're allergic to it or something else, and you want to be able to quickly search your materia medica to figure out what are the plants that you could include in a formulation that you're making for someone. This is a tool that you could use to quickly arrive at that answer. Then there's also a place to elaborate on particular medicinal uses. I've evacuated the notes that I have on each of these plants from this system just because it's a test, and I also didn't want to be in a situation where I was sharing, you know, information that I've learned from people's like online courses and other like books for people who are accessing my product. So I took all of that out of here. But the idea is that you can deposit that information here and then have it in all in one place for your reference. And so here I have, you know, those medicinal uses, different clinical pearls, like exemplary uses of the plant, mm-hmm. or seaweed, and also any cautionary information related to the plant that you want to keep in mind. And I also have a field for capturing vibrational properties of the plant, if that is something that you work with or attend to in your work. And then there's also this field here, which is focused on formulation pairings. So are there particular plants that work really well with this one? If there are, you can, oh goodness, I just clicked into it by accident. If there are, you can add those in and have them top of mind as you're, you know, working with them. And so I just accidentally clicked on fennel, which is one of the plants that goes well with it. So I'll just go back into calendula. So let's see here. And then I also have the field activities section here. So here you can pinpoint particular harvestable parts.
Ooh.
Yeah. And also, is there any notes that you want to include related to how to identify this plant in the field? You can include that. Also notes about wildcrafting, notes about cultivation if you're growing it. Mm-hmm. And then you can also include information here related to preparing this plant.
That's really helpful. So then every time I want to make a calendula tincture, I can look back and be like, okay, how did I do that last time?
Exactly. Yeah. And this allows you to also link to specific recipes that you've created. So if you have a calendula tincture recipe, it will appear right here, and then you just click on it and it will just show up here. And then there's some other information here that may be not as high priority for some herbalists, but I'll just quickly comment on it. So if you want to, you can comment on whether this plant is considered invasive or at risk. Is that something you want to take into consideration? Mm-hmm. You can also, if this plant occurs in a particular range, like an ecological range, you can note that. And also if it occurs in particular habitats, you can link that here if that information is useful to you and the work that you do. And you can also note different, you know, different stories, different traditions to which this plant might be connected that you want to learn more about or share as an educator. And then there are also some fields down here that you can use to pinpoint dates during which this plant can be wildcrafted. And yeah, and the system is set up so that if you say that in the case of calendula, you wanted to say midsummer, the dates auto-populate. So you can tell the system sort of like general dates during which, you know, summer is happening where you live.
Oh, cool.
And then it will auto-populate particular dates during which you can sort of have in mind that you want to go and wildcraft, fill in the blank. plant. And then down here, this in the location section, this allows you to pinpoint particular trips that you took when you might have wildcrafted a particular plant. So I'll just choose one of these randomly. And it links to the actual location where you did that. In this case, I have renamed this location Awesome Forest just to be a general location instead of an actual place I might go to. And yeah, I think I'll maybe leave the longer explanation of how all of this works to in-depth tutorial videos. But I really like this feature because it's allowed me to actively think about the landscapes from which I'm deriving the foods and medicines that I'm harvesting. And it's also helped motivate me to make sure that I'm actively giving back to those places on a continuous basis and ensuring that I'm stewarding them in a thoughtful way so that, you know, when I'm coming home and putting various foods and medicines together from different places, I'm not forgetting, you know, where they came from. And that feels important to me. And
then Do you put pins in there from like the exact location on like Google Maps or something?
Yeah, I personally have the way that I do the mapping is I use this software called Gaia GPS. I would love in the future to integrate it more fully. That would be amazing. Okay. But right now I pinpoint the different places on Gaia GPS. And then I can click into this and show you. So this is an example of a trip that I took to this place that I'm calling Awesome Forest. And I just sort of noted down the specific species that I harvested there. And calendula is appearing because I just added it as an example. So I'll just get rid of that. So here, let's just say that I harvested the reishi. And I just like it because it allows me to then link it to specific making processes that I engaged in connection with this trip. So in this case, making a dual extraction from the reishi. And then there are also these linked photos, which are right there. So I find it really helpful just because it just allows all of these things to sort of cohere, and it allows information to be findable later on instead of getting lost on my computer or in a notebook.
Mm, 100%.
Yeah, it's so important, especially for like when you go out foraging to a place that you don't go that often, to know where it is and when it's so easy to forget like the exact weeks that mm-hmm. you know that it's that a particular mushroom is ripe
and then it's gone.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I like that this tells you, you know, exactly when you harvested a particular thing. So it will say, you know, this location, this date. And oh goodness, I'm having some issues with my mouse. I need to resolve that. But anyway, it generates a list of the places where you harvested it and when you harvested it. So yeah, so I find that really helpful as someone who likes to be able to go back and figure out where things were and when. Okay, so my goodness, I'm so sorry. This is terrible.
It's also helpful to kind of see, oh, I clicked on the wrong thing. What do? I hit the back button. So it's like kind of to navigate Notion if you've never been in the Notion world before. So
Yes. One other thing I should quickly mention about the Materia Medica section is that right now we're viewing all of the different species that are in the demo system and that come with it if you get the product, but you can also create different views for yourself so that you only see certain herbs. So for example, if you only want to see the warming bitters, you can create a view that just shows the warming bitters that are part of the system, which for right now is just calendula. And let's see, you can create other views if you want to. So let's see here. So you just click add view. Oh goodness, this looks a little bit crazy. Filter actions. So I guess I go into more detail about this in the tutorial videos, but the idea is that if you have some specific needs and you want to make sure that you want to be able to quickly turn to all of the plants that have specific features, you can do that by using various filters. So you have all of the different like tags that we were looking at to draw from, and the sky is really the limit as to the kinds of information that you can display and have on tap like swiftly. But this is just an example.
That's so helpful. Yeah. So if you're working with a client, you're like, what are all of the antiviral herbs that I have to as an option. And then you can, you know, distill all of that knowledge and make the perfect formula.
Yeah. And you could also make it so that you only see the ones that you have in stock, quote unquote, as well, if that is an issue.
Oh, love that.
Okie dokie. So I just want to quickly tap or jump into those two other areas, the recipes and the clinical areas. So in the recipes and formulations area, I just have this one recipe as an example, which is both medicinal and, you know, a food recipe. So I have this nettle recipe. And at the top here, there are various tags. So in this case, it's broth, but also it includes a broth, and it's also a food and it's a medicine. And the value of tagging them is that you can then splice and dice the records, similar to what I was just showing in the Materia Medica section. Mm-hmm. And you can also rate your recipes. That's not crucial, but I like to do that. And you can also pinpoint a particular source. So here I have Jade Alessandro Mace's incredible milk and honey herbs blog and business. I like being able to include sources like this because I think it's just so crucial to give credit where credit is due, especially in the herbal world where so many recipes and things are passed down, which I think is really powerful, but it also seems really important to make sure that when people are, you know, putting a lot of work and time into formulating recipes and knowledge that they receive credit for it. And so this is an area where you can link to that. And then, you know, if you are databasing a lot of information that you're learning from say the Milk and Honey Herbs blog, within Notion, you can then go and see all of that information appear. So this will show you, you know, everything that you have, you know, and everything that you've databased from this blog. So all of the recipes, you know, if I was learning a lot from Jade in this case, I would include her here, like as a person I'm learning from. And the way that I set it up is so that when you're taking notes that are drawn from a particular herbal teacher or other person, you can include a link to their name in your notes so that they're constantly getting credit in your system. So if you're ever giving a lecture or doing something, you'll always know where that knowledge came from and give them credit.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then this is just a URL to the recipe. And then in the ingredients section, I just have nettle. And so this links to the nettle record. So all of it is connected together. And so this is similar to the calendula record. And it's also linked to a particular resource that I love, which is Sam Thayer's book, Forager's Harvest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, so that this is the recipe and formulations area. And then this is the clinical work area, just to touch upon that swiftly. So this just gives people an idea of what they can do with it. There are a lot of ways to use this section, but you can create different client records. So here I have Jane Doe as an example. And you can absolutely adjust this so that the fields say whatever you want, so that it aligns with whatever tradition you're working in. But to start, I have constitution, so hot, damp, cool, and dry as options. You can also include information about someone's tongue, if you work that way, their pulse, any particular health concerns that you want to focus on, any health goals that they've articulated to you or shared goals that you've developed together, any allergies that you're aware of, any formulations that you have used with this client. And this just links to a drop-down menu so you can link to all of your recipes. You can also include any health paperwork or documentation that you have that you want to keep in a single location, any images that are somehow related to working with the client. And then below that, there's also an area where you can keep track of different appointments that you've had with that client, which are also reproduced down here at the bottom. And then you can also capture your notes, any notes that you have from your visit. So I'll click in there just to show you what it looks like. So this is pretty straightforward. It just shows the client's name, the type of appointment, when it happened, and then, you know, you just fill it in there. And you can also include images, PDFs, even video if you wanted to. And then if you have any appointments coming up, they will all be listed here. So you can create one by, I didn't mean to click it that way. Yikes. So if you wanted to create a new appointment, you just click this little down arrow and click new appointment. And then you can just fill this in, select the date, select the client, and then that's it. And
awesome.
Yeah, and then it will populate in here. You can see all of your appointments coming up tomorrow or this week, this month, your past appointments, and then you can also see them plotted out on a calendar. Yeah, so those are the features for those three areas of the system. But as people can see, there are a lot of other features in here that are worth checking out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like on the clinical side, when you click on the person's name, it gives you kind of the key highlights. So every time you have an appointment with someone, you can pull up just their name, and it can be like the main things from your intake form. And maybe you even have your PDF of the intake form, you know, in that folder for the person. And that's such a nice at a glance feature of this.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. And this is something that I think I will probably incorporate in the future, but there's a way to offer your clients an intake form, like a virtual intake form, mm-hmm. and then just have all of the information land directly into the Notion system. So that's an option too for anyone who might want to incorporate that.
And I'm curious just about the confidentiality and like security of this. Would you say that this is like a secure place to upload clients' information? Or do you think that you would use like a nickname for each client and have like a key somewhere where it's like, this client is this nickname? Or what do you think about that?
I think that's a great question, and I appreciate you mentioning it. Yeah, I think that if I was working with people in a clinical context, I would definitely use some sort of nickname, mm-hmm. because at least at this time, the team at Notion does technically, if they wanted to for some reason, I don't know what that reason would be, but if they did want to, they could access the information. So yeah, I think it would be wise to come up with some sort of way to protect the confidentiality of people's information, definitely.
Like have a paper key of like the client's favorite color and favorite animal, and then like look up the client and be like, okay, so blue donkey is this person or something like that.
Yeah. Well, not, you know, nothing is really safe on the internet, honestly.
That's a good point.
But yeah, this is a really amazing tool. It's, oh. It's so cool how well it helps you organize your knowledge and mm-hmm. yeah, be able to use that. Are you a Virgo or? This is so Virgo. It's like really well organized.
Yeah.
Virgo rising. So okay. Capricorn sun.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Perfect. So, for this.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. I'm a Capricorn sun too. So I love this.
Yay.
I love it so much. Do we have time to check out the learner section too, actually? Because I feel that's one of the things that I was so excited about learning this, because like you said, we all have a million binders and we've taken different courses.
All of us have a million binders. Some of us just have paper.
Capricorns have a million binders. Okay. Got it. But this is a way to like take all of the different classes you've taken and notes from this and that, and put it in a place where you can actually search it and not just flip through page after page until you find the exact page of notes you're looking for.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. So I'll click in there. So this section is just showing a few of the courses I've taken just as examples. Mm-hmm. So I'll click into this one here. This is the Commonwealth Herbs Program that I took with Katya Swift in Mid Madura in the Boston area. So clicking in here, this is a way for you to sort of map out some of the key details for the course. So here I've linked to Katya and Rin because they're the teachers, and I don't have their organization here, but you could do that if you wanted to add it in. I'll just add it there. I don't know how that wasn't there. Here in the format section, you can select the type of resource that you're learning from. So in this case, it's an online course, but you could also have book, podcast, website, video, and the type of course that it is. In this case, it's focused on herbalism and the URL. And then down here in the learning section, there's status. So you can indicate that you haven't started the course yet, that it's in progress, or maybe that you've even completed it. and any details you want to know about it. And then you can also link to particular assignments. So in this case, I believe that this was one of their assignments, the Materia Medica course. So you can add that in there. And you can also link to any particular notes that you've made that are connected to the course. So the mosses and lichens note is unrelated to this course, but I'll just add this sample note just to so that people will see what it looks like. And you can also include any attachments. So maybe I'm not sure what, you know, what that would be in this case, but if you, yeah, if you wanted to include something, you could drop that in there.
Like PDFs or something from the class.
What was that, sorry?
Like PDFs from the class or something maybe would be applicable there.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Notes, like if they, they're giving you like a worksheet or something, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then you can also prioritize the course. This is something I've done from time to time because I'm just really curious and I'm often trying to take a bunch of online courses at the same time. And I found it helpful to be able to indicate to myself, like, this is the number one thing, or this is the number one online course that I'm trying to complete this month or this quarter. And then in the system, you can, if you've chosen a tag like this, you can then sort things and make sure that those items appear at the top. So that can be helpful. And then down here, I have these other themes because I have another area of the system where I have kind of like a resource list, and this just links to that. So that's what that's about. So yeah, that's what this is about. And then down here, it's just a listing of any assignments that you might have that you need to attend to. So I'll click into this one. So in this case, this is the Materia Medica course within the Commonwealth Herbs Program, and you can pinpoint a specific due date. You can also send yourself a reminder, you know, a day before, a week before, the day of, and then have it emailed to yourself, which I think is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. You can also set a particular time. You can also define an end date. So say that you want to be working on a certain assignment during a particular week or a particular month, you can map out when you want to be doing that and even set a particular time that you want to be doing it. So I find that to be really helpful. And let's see, also if you're doing any learning that's related to or based at some sort of physical location, you can also include it here, though that may or may not be relevant to what someone is doing. And also if there are particular life forms that are connected to the learning that you're doing, you can also link to them here and, you know, search your Materia Medica and add it in. Can type, let's see, what's an example? Calendula, and, you know, link to the calendula. Yeah. So I think that probably gives you a sense. And you can also sort the assignments by due date also. And yeah, the possibilities are kind of endless.
I really like that part, that feature of Notion of being able to sort things in different views where you're like, you're seeing all upcoming assignments or what's due tomorrow, what's due this week. And you can, you know, focus better when you're just seeing the view that you want to see.
Definitely. Yeah. I cannot agree more. I also just wanted to quickly show this library because I thought it might help to illustrate what was happening with the notes. Mm-hmm. So you can organize any herbal texts or other texts that are important to you that you've learned from. So I'll just click into Sage's book, Evolutionary Herbalism, as an example. So if you take notes on a particular book, they will populate here, like as a list of notes on different topics. And you can also just put them in the bottom here. That's also an option. One thing I've also done when I've needed to convert my handwritten notes into typed notes is I've literally taken a picture of my written notes and then literally deposited the PDF down here so that I can transcribe it later. And that's, you can easily, and what was that?
That's a great idea.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. One nice thing about Notion is that you can just put a slash in, and then I think if you just type PDF, you can then click to embed PDF. So it's really, really easy to do that. And it just makes it really easy to find things later. So it's not like spread across a bunch of different notebooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that slash feature so much.
Yeah, me too.
And I guess since I kind of want to do one more.
Okay.
So how about the apothecary area? What's that all about?
Okay. Let's see here. So right now I have just some examples here. The purpose of this area is just to make it easy for you to see which medicines you have in your apothecary right now, as well as ones that you've had in the past. And I find it helpful because in my apothecary area, I have jars upon jars upon jars. And sometimes I want to just figure out swiftly what is actually in there without having to, you know, take things out because I have a small space. So I like being able to figure that out. So I'll click into nettles, the stinging nettles, just to show it as an example. So here it is telling me where these nettles came from. So in this case, I harvested them from this place I'm referring to as the Awesome Forest. It has a different name that's a real name, but I'm just calling it that in the demo system. Also, there's this area that you can use to designate if the nettles came from somewhere else. So maybe you purchased them from a local grower or Mountain Rose Herbs or something like that. You could deposit that information in here and then you can pinpoint, you know, then you can pinpoint like whether there's a particular plant that's in there, and so you can connect them. You can also pinpoint the amount if that's helpful to you. And this information on processing is related to the process through which you produced this item. So there's more on this in the medicine making section, where, you know, maybe you harvested the nettles and you need to dehydrate them and you're going to be doing this during a particular period of time. That's an area where you can sort of map all of this out. And once it's done, once you check this done box, the item will then appear in the apothecary area. So this processing data is kind of like historical data, but it just allows you to see like when you processed this and yeah. And that way, you know, like maybe I need to use that as soon as possible instead of letting it hang out on the shelf. And then down here in the use section, you can pinpoint the kind of item it is, whether it's just medicine or food and medicine, and the type of item it is as well. You can also indicate the amount of the amount that you've yielded, like especially if you, like I create a lot of tinctures, so I find it helpful to indicate the amount of liquid that I've yielded from a certain amount of dry material. I've just found it useful to, especially just as like, as I've learned, I found it helpful to have those pieces of information concretely mapped out for planning purposes. And then down here, I also have storage locations. So if you're someone who has a bunch of different places where you're storing stuff, you can indicate that so that it's easy to find it. And then the date you stored it, I think, can be useful as well. And if there's a particular expiration date that you want to keep in mind, you can put that in here. And then when it's all gone and you need to make more, you can check that box and then go through and figure out what you need to replenish. And also that I have an additional field here for the date that you finished, the date that you used all of it up. So you can have that as well. And that way you can see how long did it take me to get through fill in the blank, which I think can also be useful for planning purposes.
And then with the all gone section, does that populate to like your all gone list of like everything that's all gone that you need to make more of by chance?
It does not right now, but you could definitely create that. That's a great idea. I should make that adjustment. But let's see, if I click on all gone, I'm seeing nettle disappears from in stock.
Oh, okay.
There's in the historical area.
That makes sense. That's
yeah, but now I think your idea is such a good one. There could easily be another tab here that says to replenish or something like that, and include those items that are all gone.
Wow. In the restaurant business, we would call it the 86 list. It's 86'd.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but for it would be like out of stock or
out of stock. Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And that just exemplifies like how limitless Notion is. It's like, oh, you have an idea. Let me just like make a new table for that or, you know, database for that. So it's amazing.
Yes.
Awesome.
This is a cool tour.
Yeah. Thanks for showing us around, yeah. Gaia Hub. This is really awesome. And I'm so thrilled to be using it myself. And this this apothecary section particularly, it reminds me of how important it is to track these processes, especially if you're trying to do GMP or good manufacturing practice procedures as an herbalist or, you know, product maker. And it just makes it so easy to have everything in one place and easy to sort and find and keep track of, because that's something that a lot of us herbalists are not excellent at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think I appreciate you saying all of that. And I also just think that, just to give people some grace, that it's really hard. I just think about the fact that, I don't know, herbalism is such a complex endeavor, you know? So I'm grateful that Notion is so flexible and is so useful for connecting all of these threads together.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you again for that tour.
Okay.
So if folks want to learn more about Gaia Hemp or purchase it, where do you recommend that they go?
Yeah, the best place to go is to storiedgrounds.com/herbalist.
Okay, sweet. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, this has been such an awesome conversation, Caitlin, and I'm really thrilled to just know you and your work and benefit from, you know, this amazing system that you've created for us herbalists and naturalists folks. So I'm just so excited to dive into it more and keep, you know, adding my own experiences and learning and the things that I'm making and all of that. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your kind words. And it's been such a pleasure to talk with both of you, and so exciting to hear about how you envision it being useful in your work as herbalists.
Yeah, thank you. So thanks again for being on the show, Caitlin, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Bye.